and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 11th of August, 2021. I'm joined by Josh.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the cult of diversity and how it never loses. Somehow they managed to find a way out of that modus tollens. Also, Biden's child propagandists, which is decided to hire. And also, Boris's green fetish, because there is something weird about his obsession with green stuff that I don't get. Even as someone who doesn't really care about the climate argument, it's unnerving. Anyway, first things I mentioned, so some of the new stuff we have on the website. So the first thing here is the premium article Hugo's written, Overpopulation is Not Real, in which he's arguing, as you explained to me before, which is that essentially we have a built-in limit of the population. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be that everyone has seven kids forever or something like that. As you can see in the developed world, people don't overproduce.
And even so, the technological developments are going to become better and better, aren't they? So we're going to be able to sustain more people even without that. So
going to give that a read. Mm-hmm. Also, you have to sign up for that one. But also, wanted to mention, follow us on Getter, because I like Getter. Getter's good. So, lotuseaters_com on Getter. Go and get that. Just wanted to mention one of the social media issues there, because we posted all of them, Gab, Facebook, Twitter, you know, all of them that were not yet dead on. But want to build up the stuff on alternative platforms, so please do go over and sign up. But without further ado, let's get into the cult of diversity and how it never loses. So, there's been a new article from the Race Grifters, and this one is Team GB still too white and suburban, say Sports England official. Yeah, that's the problem with the team. Too white. Okay, whatever. So if we go to the article itself, they see Chris Grant laments massive underrepresentation in team of diversity in elite sport. Thing is here, keep in mind the percentage of white people in the UK is 86%. They'll come back to that in a minute because turns out it's actually perfectly represented, but that's the problem. That's still too white. Even perfect representation is not non-white enough. So they say, whilst the BMX riders Kai Whiten, I don't know how to say these names, and Bethany Shearever have been a standout stories of the Tokyo Olympics, and the latter had to crowdfund and work as a teaching assistant to travel to competitions before British Cycling funded her in 2019. Yeah, I know, it's almost as if specializing in sport is quite an elitist thing to do, and you need to get some quite elite connections to get that as your main pursuit.
Well, yeah, there's a bit of a threshold, isn't there, where you've got to be good enough to do it professionally to be able to sustain it as a career. So you've got to be able to dedicate resources to doing that sport professionally. Mm. You can't also just fall into it.
There's also the aspect of, like, well, I suppose we could argue, like, genetics and all that. Like, if you have a well upbringing, you know, if your parents are able to give you a well upbringing, there's a higher chance of you being the best physically, mm-hmm. let's say, probably. But I don't know. Anyway, so they continue. Team GB, Paralympics GB, and their support teams do not look and sound like the whole population. As if they should. I don't know what this obsession with, like, equal outcomes is with these people, but good God, I'm sick of it. That is absurd. But I think the challenge is that people don't think it's absurd, because it's not absurd. I don't know what is wrong with leftists and their obsession with everything being the equal outcome of what you put in. Population equals X, therefore outcome should equal X. Makes no damn sense. Anyway, but also, I don't know why there's a goal along racial lines in particular with this guy, because you'll notice later on, there's a bunch of other ways you could look at this along class lines. You could look at it upon elitist lines. You could look at it upon geographic lines across the UK. No, not interested in that, because race grifting is, you know, bread and butter for the left, I guess. According to the presentation Grant gave to Sports England Talent Inclusion Advisory Group, a totally worthwhile organization, more than a third of the sports funded through the Talented Athlete Scholarship Scheme had zero athletes that were non-white. And if there was a group that was entirely non-white, would that be a problem? Never is it? It's only because there's a group there, you know, of sportsmen. And there's no non-white people in there, therefore that's a problem. And he estimates that between a third of all Olympic and Paralympic sports have never had an athlete from an ethnic minority background. What does it matter? The race isn't important here, surely, my friend. But of course not.
This is probably one of the same people who'd have been like, yeah, the reason that the England football team got to the finals is because of diversity.
Yeah, he goes on to say that, to make the diversity ideology argument, that diversity is our strength when we're winning, and when we're losing, also diversity is our strength. Doesn't matter. Anyway, the same presentation quoted research revealing that in the last decade, about half of all Team GB medalists attended private school. See, there's your little note. Like, it's not about the race in this case, mostly. Well, we'll get into some of the other arguments about race later, but it's the elitist attitude. I mean, the elitist nature of the Olympics would naturally prelude to the people competing are probably going to be quite elite. I mean, private schools, half of them.
Mm. Yeah, I don't remember. I imagine you probably don't either, being tried out for loads of Olympic sports. I don't know.
Well, I was never a sportsman anyway, but none of the sportsman people in my school ever were either, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so they Tokyo Olympics and Team GB's lack of dominance in some of its traditional preferred sports has raised questions about a funding model that has been described as brutal but effective. So because we're losing now, diversity isn't our strength. Therefore, the problem here is not the diversity, as the ideology would have you follow if it followed logical lines. Instead, it's the funding method. Okay, right. For example, Team GB Rowing, which is currently has only two non-white athletes, received £24,000 in the last Olympic cycle from UK Sport, yet produced only two medals, one silver and one bronze. There we go.
It's not that bad, to be honest.
But also no diversity, no wins. Simple as. I mean, that's his argument there. It's like, well, there's no diversity in the rowing team, therefore the rowing team fails.
So silver and bronze isn't good enough.
No.
So second and third place in the world, apparently not good enough.
No. Sally Monday, the chief executive for UK Sport, said Tokyo had already produced incredible role models for diversity. Not for young people, for England, for
sports
Britain.
People.
No, yeah. No, it's just role models for diversity. Right, okay. With the games hailed as the Rainbow Olympics, while Team GB took more women than men for the first time. So there's an inequality there that we could correct. Need to kick women out of sport, do we? Because there's too many of them. No, only ever goes one way. Anyway, but the body recognizes that much more needs to be done. We don't have 100% diversity yet. I love it. With the, you know, the meme of like a full female boardroom. It's like, finally, we've reached 100% diversity because it's all women. Therefore, they are diverse citizens.
I don't know how they can hold that view. Surely they must be aware, you know, especially recently when reports in the UK have been like, yeah, the white working class are doing probably the worst. So yeah, well, we need diversity, clearly.
Never ends. So the more that needs to be done is to take aim and reflect British society at the heart of its diversity strategy, she said. Overall, 86% of Team GB's athletes in Tokyo were white. I can already hear, like, every time I hear someone talk like this, it's like Hamza Yusuf. Anyway. So, but there we go. Overall, 86% of Team GB's athletes in Tokyo were white. 68%. Sorry, 86%. Reflective of the 2011 census figure for the overall population, they write in the article. So,
and they're saying this as a complaint, even though
yeah,
they've actually achieved their goal just by chance.
Overall, 86% of Team GB's athletes were white, reflective of the census. But the team is still too white.
So that's a pretty naked acknowledgement of their agenda here, really, isn't it? It's not about actual representation at all.
Never was.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised.
For these people, I'm honestly just believing it's about hating white people, because I don't know what else can honestly motivate you.
That's probably one of the only explanations you can have here.
Yeah, but I love that. They're either, yeah, it's in line with the census, but what? Monday acknowledged that some sports had more work to do than others to reflect modern Britain. Why? Does it have to be 86% white in every single sport? Like, we're going to go down to the individual level? Do the individual athletes need to be 86% white? Is that how we're going to do this? Jesus Christ.
We're going to selectively breed athletes now, just to...
so that they, like, proportionally, all their genes are representative of the makeup of Britain.
As soon as the demographics change of the country, they've got to retire, that's it.
Yeah.
Career ruined.
But that's the thing, the smallest minority is the individual. And therefore, if we're going to have minority representation, well, it has to go down to the individual level. So we are going to have 86% white athletes, I suppose. So she says, you'll see it black and white in the strategy because we mean it. We're prepared to be measured on it and to be held accountable for it. Really? So when are you going to resign? Because if diversity ideology is losing, therefore you have to be held accountable. You're the one who was like, yeah, diversity ideology means wins. Therefore you have to leave, surely. Because diversity ideology is not producing the wins they want. But progress was painfully slow and difficult, said Grant. Part of the reason it hasn't happened is that some of the people who are in positions of power don't really believe it can happen.
Well, of course.
Some of the higher-ups don't believe in the ideology. Yeah. Surprising,
so right? Some people have some common sense that, you know, equity doesn't work.
Yeah, and he says, and part of that, frankly, is unconscious bias, he said.
Oh yeah, that thing that definitely exists and definitely isn't a load of rubbish.
Yeah. So defeat is also proof that more diversity ideology is needed. When there's a win, diversity is our strength. When there's a lose, diversity is our strength. And if we're not getting the progress we need, well, we just need more diversity ideology. If you're interested in that idea, there's the Long March book club we did, which is going up at 5 p.m. today, so go and check that out. But anyway, Grant has spoken previously about structural racism in British sport, and then said that it is so deep and persuasive, it amounts to a kind of apartheid.
It's deep and pervasive, wasn't it? But
it's apartheid.
Yeah, I doubt modern day Britain is apartheid.
No, I don't mean the sporting sector. That's why you never see the black guys in the pool or the white guys on the track. Apartheid. That's why that happens. Okay, rightio. There is an overt racism throughout sport and activity at every level, of course, there is. Sport has a massive heritage of exclusion, he said, adding that until 1948, a British boxing champion had to prove that they had two white parents. Yeah, 1948. Which is why today there are no black boxers from England.
Yeah, they're talking about overt racism in the modern day, and they're going all the way back to 1948 to find an example.
Well, in 1948, there was a rule about this. It's like, yeah, it's what has it been now since then? 70 years? 73 years, to be precise, for that one. But okay, that's how far you have to go back. Transforming the composition of the UK's Olympic and Paralympic teams to reflect the population is not only good for sport, he said. If we can fix some of these problems in sport, then that genuinely provides a model for how they can be fixed in other areas of society. It's never about the thing, is it? It's never about sport. It's not about getting better sportsmen. It's always just, well, this is a new testing ground for diversity ideology, and if it can fix here, well, then it can fix everything in society. Just everything will be fixed. Why? Because more diversity. What if we've got the correct percentage of whites, as shown? Still not enough diversity.
Yeah, I'm amazed that they even included that. Surely that undermines their entire argument. Just like, yeah, we've got perfect representation, but it's still not enough.
It's not enough diversity. Perfect representation. We need imperfect representation to be true diversity. Yeah. What's entertaining about this particular cope as well is that up until right now, the teams for this Olympics were hailed as proof of diversity success. So, as mentioned earlier, the Rainbow Olympics, Tokyo, hailed as the turning point for LGBTQ plus athletes, because that's what this is really about. I thought I was the best diver in all of the Team GB. No, you're a gay. That's the summation of your goals. Anyway, so there's also the next one. Team GB embrace unity in diversity. It's the theme for their Olympics kit. Sounds like something out of V Vendetta, doesn't it?
It really does.
Like,
yeah.
Unity through strength, diversity through unity.
Imagine as well being like a sports person. You've worked really hard to become the best in the country for your sport, and then the thing that everyone's interested in, oh, the color of your skin, oh, that's so amazing. Just like, surely it must be demeaning for them as well, in that they've put in so much effort to get where they are, and then everyone's fascinated about something that they had no control over. Whereas the interesting thing to me is the fact that they've got that good at the sport to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care that much about Olympics because it's...
Really followed it. I don't
because
care.
Because it's also this time round, it's been particularly political, let's say. But this is just really funny as it's a rerun of the chapters about football in which it was like, yeah, diversity is our strength. Oh, no, we lost. Well, that means diversity isn't our strength. No. It means diversity is still our strength. Okay. And the same thing's apparently happening here. They're not happy with the performance, even though, I don't know, I thought everyone did all right.
Yeah,
not,
I mean,
we were... anything that terrible.
I think, weren't we roughly in the top five of the countries? And I mean, we're not exactly the largest country. Normally it's like US and China who have large populations. So considering that our population is a fraction of those countries, we did all right.
I love the idea that they're thinking, well, China doesn't have diversity. We do, therefore we should be better than China. Okay. Anyway, so when diversity wins, diversity is our strength. When diversity does not win, diversity is our strength. And this is, of course, a violation of logical principles. This is the video Carl made about this, about the football, in which you just run the logic. If P, then Q, not Q, therefore not P. You know, diversity is our strength. We didn't win, therefore diversity is not... Oh, wait, you can't say that, can you? Because that would run the ideology through logical mills, which is not allowed. Go and give that video a watch as well, because that's fantastic. Anyway, so that's the charade with the football. What's interesting is you can also just break down the situation with the Olympics again. So if we can go, there's a graph on here in which they show the distribution of the different areas. So if you can scroll down, you're going to have to scroll down quite a bit. So it's after this one, and then there's the graph underneath, which shows where the medal winners have come from throughout the country. And as you can see there, the Northwest, 91% white. Scotland, 96% white, are the most overrepresented areas of the winners. So actually, the figures of the Olympians is actually underrepresented whites there. But also, the people who hadn't won, the underrepresented areas for winners, Northern Ireland, 98% white. Northeast, 95% white. Southwest, also 95% white.
Proud of the Southwest being underachievers. We always have been.
But just, there's the point. Like, the overachiever and underachieving regions are overwhelmingly more white than the team. So it's almost like your racial grievance politics is not accurate of the reality on the ground here of things that might be more important. when you can't point to a single law or a single scholarship or anything that's specifically for white people. You can in reverse, though, can't you? Anyway, so if we go to the next one, you can see the higher education graph for the Seoul report. Because here's the thing. You can say that, well, it's underrepresented brown people. Well, I can actually point to some differences in the law and the treatment. And if we just run this ideology in reverse for a second, you can see that of the white groups that make it to higher education on free school meals, they're all near the bottom. The very bottom group being white British.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
But the lowest performing groups in getting into higher education, the most, what is it, deprived? The most deprived groups, white British, not black Caribbean, not Bangladeshi, Indian, black African, Chinese. Chinese at the top, I can see John raising a fist. But that's the case. Well, then I guess we'll just start scholarships for white British students to get to higher education. No, of course not. No. Instead, what do we have as an example? We go to the next one, you see Christchurch, so Oxford. New BAME Law Scholarship announced at Christchurch, Oxford. This was last year they did this. So even though they know the Seoul report is out, you can look at the data. I mean,
they're using the outdated and racist BAME acronym as well. It's even worse.
I haven't had the update. But they're not the only ones. Bristol's also doing the same, providing £1 million available to support black students, even though they're overperforming.
Well, yeah, it wasn't black African, like the top, second to top behind the Chinese.
Of free school meals, much more likely to get to university. And that was just black African, you know, the Chad. Black Caribbean, lower, but still higher than white British. White British, massively underperforming. And if we go back to the Olympics, you can just see also this sort of thing for sport. British weightlifting. What have they got? BAME Weightlifting Coaching Scholarship. Because that's what's important. The coach needs to have brown skin. So there's the thing. Like, there is no scholarship you can point to that's specifically for like white applicants, and therefore the team's too white because of structural racism or something. But I can actually point to some structural racism against white applicants and in favor of BAME applicants, whatever the hell that means, because that's still not really hidden down, is it? But anyway, also I wanted to mention that you can't really insulate yourself about this. This is something else we spoke about in the book club about the Long March. There's the idea that you could, well, this, you can just ignore this or try and get away from it. The thing is, it affects everything, doesn't it? The cult of diversity.
I mean, nothing has really escaped.
Do you have money? Are you interested in money at all?
No, not at all.
Well, then you're also going to get hit by this. So US Stock Exchange sets diversity rules for listed companies.
I mean, why would they even need that in the first place?
You would have thought the only color was green, but no. Stock Exchange is like, yeah, we need racial quotas for handling money.
I'm pretty sure stock exchanges discriminate against humans by preferring AI and stuff like that. Most of it is based automated.
Firms on NASDAQ, which include tech giants such as Apple and Tesla, will have to have at least two diverse directors. Or explain why they do not. Diverse directors. I mean, we really are moving towards like diversity citizen as a statement. Like, there's citizens and then there's diverse citizens. And therefore, they're worth more because you can have them in the diversity roles. I mean, this is how they talk about them. I mean, what was the one we looked at where it was women? I can't remember what organization it was, but they described women as like diverse applicants or something like that. It was like,
are they? They are the majority.
Yeah, but they're diverse because they're women. Even though they're 51% of the population, they're still diverse. I love it. Anyway, so the directors should include one person who identifies as female. Identifies. Lads, there's your chance. And another as an underrepresented minority or LGBTQI+. Right. I love how they're just like, yeah, brown person or a gay. Basically the same. But it also shows how arbitrary this is. There is no recourse or argument for why the representation is important. It's just do it.
Mm-hmm. But you have hit on an important thing that it's all about. You can identify, right? So there is a loophole here where if you are a white man who is probably going to be discriminated against by affirmative action policies, just identify as someone else.
I mean, the best one to do is probably gay. Because, I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to make you prove it in the interview? Because that's illegal.
Yeah, how would that even happen?
Exactly. I mean, like, they could say, well, you know, you're not made much of an effort to come in as a woman today. But and that would be evident. But if you just say, yeah, no, I'm gay, I'll take the diversity job, please. I mean, they're not going to make you suck off the boss to try and find out if you're telling the truth. That's not going to happen. So, yeah, if you want a job as a diverse citizen in future, we're all gay, mate. You and me included.
Okay, so I wanted to move on to Biden's new strategy in employing cringy TikTokers to influence people.
What, unlike his old strategy of employing cringy TikTokers?
What, you mean his administration in general? I didn't realize they all had TikTok.
I bet they do, actually. I bet if you go to Kamala Harris, she's got a TikTok account.
I don't even want to think about it.
I'll check that out.
So, there's this tweet. Cast your mind back to the 16th of October, 2020. America was probably being burnt by Black Lives Matter. Forget about that bit. That's not important for now. Biden says, we're 8 months into this pandemic and Donald Trump doesn't have a plan to get this virus under control. I do. Well, guess what that plan is?
Cringe.
Let's go to the first video.
Oh, boy.
First video. There we go.
Today, Dr. Fauci is doing 5 Q&A conversations on Instagram and TikTok with millennial mom influencers and Gen Z influencers. Throughout the month of August, Dr. Fauci will do weekly conversations and questions with notable influencers that aim to reach specific audiences we are looking to boost vaccination rates with.
God, everything about that was awful. You know what? You are right. The generational terms are disgusting.
I know, yeah.
Especially when said like that. I really, really hate the term influencer, though.
Oh, it's so annoying, isn't it? Because it's already taking on that, yeah, I'm important, I influence people. But it's self-appointed. They refer to themselves as influencers.
Yeah, but it's sort of like segregating yourself off from the people you agree with and being like, I'm better than you, I'm an influencer, or something like that. And I see it in like, because my ex-girlfriend used to watch a lot of beauty videos. They call themselves it in the beauty community. I'm just like, that's cringe. Stop.
I absolutely despise these kinds of people. Like, they are the worst of the worst. I mean, I would take a social justice warrior in a conversation any day. At least we could actually talk about meaningful things. These people, so vapid and superficial, all they care about is being liked. I bet if it would get likes on TikTok, they would have worked for the SS, rounding up certain people.
Oh, God. I can already see like the far right going to be like, oh, you know what? Maybe I should get on TikTok.
So anyway, here's the instructions that went out to the influencers that Biden was trying to get. So if you could go on that picture on the left there, John.
Confidential.
Yeah, well.
Why?
They weren't very good at that, were they?
But so, also why? Like, why do you need to make your terms confidential?
Confidential in big capitals, 2 asterisks either side. So you know they didn't want this to get out, but here we are. Please note that this email is highly confidential and is not for public distribution. So they really, really didn't want this getting out. We have a highly sensitive but pretty incredible opportunity we'd like to discuss for blank. We have been working with Dr. Fauci and the White House, as featured on the front page of the New York Times, to fight vaccine lies. Authorities recruit an influencer army and handpicked select influencers to do an intimate 1v1 Zoom call with Dr. Fauci.
You want to be a paid schmuck?
Also, like how they mentioned the White House and they say as featured on in the New York Times, as if like they didn't know what the White House was. I'm sure that's probably not what they meant. But that's, like, you may not know what the White House is, but
we know you're all idiot like TikTokers. Yeah.
So they go on to say the goal is to have blank ask questions on behalf of blank community and educate young people around the vaccine, as there is a massive need to grow awareness within the 12 to 25 age demo, which I presume to be demographic. The White House team and 12. Our team. Yeah, I know.
This is about vaccines. This is about trying to make you take the vaccine. They want to target 12-year-olds.
Exactly, yeah. It's probably why they didn't want this to come out. That they're kind of giving away that they are going to push it on actual children. And they said that there's of course not much evidence for this yet, for even being effective, but I don't want to get into that. So they say, the White House and our team agree that given blank's voice and influence within the crucial demographic, blank would be great for this special opportunity. We'd love to get on a phone call, ideally blank, to go over all the details and see if it's the right fit. Can you let us know when you're available to touch base? We're moving fast and have only a few available slots that we can fill, so please let us know ASAP. Looking forward to connecting. Thanks. So that is what went out.
This is the plan. This is the plan to get COVID on.
This is the great plan that Donald Trump couldn't think of, apparently.
Thank God.
Recruit a TikTok army who need the White House to be explained to them for a New York Times article. But moving on to the next video. Here we go. Here is singer Jacob Sartorius. I've never heard of them. I've never heard of any of these people, as a caveat. I'm pretty proud of that fact.
At least we know they're a paid schmuck from now on.
Yes. So we're going to go for a few paid schmucks talking to Fauci, and let's hear what he has to say.
It's great to meet you, Dr. Fauci. I had a couple questions about the vaccine. We don't know the long-term negative health effects of the COVID shots. A lot of rumors about, you know, phones sticking to arms. Can you help me weigh the pros and cons of getting vaccinated?
That's a great question, Jacob, that a lot of people ask. And a lot of the things that you're referring to are just ridiculous myths. You know, do I become magnetic? Do you put a chip in me so I could follow you around? That kind of stuff. You got to use your TikTok medium to debunk that nonsense. The benefit of the vaccine overwhelmingly outstrips any of the theoretical risks of something bad happening to you. But if they occur, they're spectacularly rare.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you. Take care of yourself.
Should I relax my arm?
Sure.
Because my heart's not relaxed right now.
That's it. Awesome.
You happy, Dr. Fauci?
God, that's cringe. But also, just I love the idea that he's like, yeah, some people believe that the vaccine makes you a human magnet or something. And he's like, yeah, I mean, only people on TikTok are stupid enough to believe that. So you've got to get rid of that. Like,
yeah. Oh, boy. And there's more to come yet. So I found it particularly funny how he's just like, yeah, you've got to use TikTok to, like, almost explicit about you've got to propagandize the children.
But also just TikTok is so full of morons that we know you believe anything. So,
well, I'd agree with him on that, that's for sure. Yeah. So here's the next one, which is Claudia Solwolski. Probably butchering that pronunciation, but never mind. I don't want to give them any more clout than they don't deserve. So let's listen to this one.
Hi, Dr. Fauci. It's such an honor to meet you.
It's my pleasure, Claudia. It's really great to be with you.
So we're trying to have a Vax Girl Summer. Do you mind if I ask you some rapid-fire questions?
Vax Girl Summer.
Go ahead, please.
In just one sentence, can you help me convince my friends who aren't vaccinated yet to get vaccinated so that I can invite them to my pool party?
When you are vaccinated, you are protected from getting infected. And you are protected from getting anybody else infected.
No.
Because if you don't get infected, you're not going to spread it to anybody else. Get vaccinated and have your pool party.
We all want to feel and look our best this summer, of course. What's a common myth that you hear about the vaccine's side effects?
Well, a common myth is that the vaccine can make you infertile or sterile or get into your genes. All of that's a myth, nonsense, untrue. Don't let it bother you. Go ahead, get vaccinated, be as safe, and have a lot of fun.
And what will you miss out on this summer if you're not vaccinated?
Well, if you're not vaccinated, what you'll miss out on is that feeling of protection, to know that you are protected. You don't need to wear a mask. You could be outside. You could be inside. If you don't want constraints, for goodness sakes, go get vaccinated, and you could just get rid of all your constraints there. Thanks for having me, Claudia. It's good to be with you.
Thank you so much. Great to meet you.
Looks at the floor while he's saying, I don't want to be here.
I don't blame him.
I mean, just spreading medical misinformation there.
Yeah, well, he said protected from getting infected and not infecting others, whereas wasn't there a study in Israel of the Israeli population by the Israeli government which suggested that actually people who have been vaccinated may actually have more of the pathogen in them, right?
But also the idea that you can't spread it if you're vaccinated. The CDC, I think the organization he's meant to be advising, and also the WHO say that no, if you get vaccinated, you can still infect people.
Yeah, so he's misleading people there directly.
Well, I mean, he's the source of rumors here.
Well, yeah, he's spreading vaccine disinformation because if he's telling people, yeah, if you get the vaccine, well, you're fine, you're not going to spread it, then people are probably going to believe it.
Also, Vax Girl Summer has got nothing on White Boy Summer. That's going nowhere.
I think they're both cringe, but okay.
Let's go for the next one.
Sure.
What's up, dudes?
This is the
What's up, Dr. Fauci?
So we have a couple questions we want to ask you.
Okay, go ahead.
Does the vaccine impact my fertility? And can people get it while they're pregnant or breastfeeding?
You see her reading.
Yeah, I know. That's just about to point that out.
Fertility. In fact, many, many of the people who've gotten vaccinated have gotten pregnant. Tens and tens of thousands of women have been vaccinated while pregnant and then while breastfeeding. No negative effects that have been noticed.
Also, we've noticed the age of eligibility keeps getting lowered for the vaccine. So if it wasn't studied on children, how do we know it's safe for children?
Matt, that's a great question. We don't allow it to be given to any age group until it has been tested. As you see the age limit going down, that means it has been tested in that group. and it has been shown to be safe and effective.
So good to know. Thank you for your time, Dr. Fauci.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Thanks for paying me. Bye bye.
Yeah. So,
but hang on with the age thing first. Like, it's already being given to people. What was it, under 16 in the continent? In the UK, they're giving it to them, even though they're not meant to be. And then they're saying in the US, that
we're going to get onto that because one of our vaccine specialists was talking about that, but I don't want to spoil it yet. So there's also photos of other influencers on Twitter just talking to him, although I couldn't find the video. So you're probably better off not seeing those. They're probably much of the same thing where it's just...
Yes, here's $300. Mm-hmm. Now ask him this question we've written and then say goodbye.
So if you could go on the first one, John. So we say, does the vaccine make you magnetic? I talked with Dr. Fauci to find out.
I'm sorry, who believes this?
Answering the cutting questions that everyone needs to hear. Well,
people on TikTok believe this, I guess. Anyway.
Why would being magnetic really be that much of a
no, why would, bad it, be, thing why would anyway? It be a negative anyway?
It'd be a power.
You could literally be the human magnet.
It should be like, yeah, it does make you magnetic. Look at this. TikTokers love it.
If he's spreading medical misinformation for you to get it anyway, the idea that you can't then get infected, why not? Get the full hog. It gives you superpowers. CDC approved. God.
I actively avoid TikToks, but even I've seen like the TikTok magic tricks where they've got like stuff stuck to their hands and stuff. So they'd love it. But anyway, enough of this rubbish. So... this is the worst video of all, which is the final video. I saved the worst until last.
I just want to notice how bored all they all look in the images as well.
Well, they're all just pre-rehearsed, aren't they?
These... Like, look at them. They're just like, no one wants to be there. Fauci doesn't want to be there. They don't want to be there.
They did like 50, didn't they? So he's probably being like held prisoner at gunpoint at this point. It's like, oh God, do I have to talk to another one of these TikTokers? My God.
You know, for all the problems with Fauci, I do feel for him on this. Imagine talking to 50 TikTokers in a row.
He needs to be put on suicide watch, I think.
Yeah. Anyway.
Here it is.
One sec. One. Democracy's calling. See you, Daddy. Bye.
Hi, my name is Cooper, and this is a day in my life as a White House intern.
We did a joke. Hey, everyone. Vote.
Usually, I start off with a big coffee.
Sorry, they're like really strict in here.
Hey, Jenny, I booked you a nail appointment, love.
Yeah, I didn't tell you to do that.
It's called initiative.
Hi, White House, this is Cooper. I don't think so. Oh, doesn't matter.
This is actually the entrance to the West Wing. This is so fun, and it's really prestigious.
Hey, POTUS.
Is Olivia Rodrigo still here?
No. We've come a long way in our fight against this virus. We've vaccinated 160 million Americans. Are you getting this all down?
Don't worry, Queen. It's all right here.
Cooper.
Sorry, Miss Jen.
And Jen, don't forget to have fun.
Spirit fingers, Mama.
We need to get shots in the arms of every single American.
I'm heading to a haircut.
Comment if you want me to make more of these.
Please don't. Please, please never make more of these. Jesus Christ, I agree with Iran. Death to America. Oh, God. They signed off on that, and like she filmed it with him.
Yes.
And then they must have reviewed it and be like, yeah, that's based, and then posted it.
I don't think they thought it was based.
Oh, boy. But that has to go through like several layers of approval, surely. I mean, who is he? He's got to come to the White House. He's going to film with the press secretary, and then the White House is going to approve it to be posted.
I don't know how that's going to convince someone, just him fooling around and being overly camp for the entire video. I don't know.
Wearing multiple dresses.
I mean, that might convince the TikTokers.
Hey, if you get your vaccine, you can be just like me. It's that South Park episode with the butt out. You know, like, yeah, if you don't smoke, you can be just like us. And then the little boys just start smoking. Just, oh, boy.
So that is the videos there. What do you think? Do you think this is going to work?
Praise be to Trump for never doing this. Yes. If that was the plan, he was not enacting.
I mean, it makes Trump look so much better, doesn't it? Just anyone who has to hire these kinds of people to promote stuff, you're not helping your cause at all.
I mean, I don't know if there are right-wing TikTokers, but I'd never take a deal like that. If the Republicans get back in, just don't do it. It's too cringe.
So I saw an article on Forbes that was talking about this, and it basically is surprisingly accurate about pretty much all of the opinions of normal people. It starts with, you can scold, cajole, and pressure people to make them do things they don't want to do. This approach mostly backfires as folks don't like being ordered around, especially by people like that. And perhaps the mixed messages sent out by our government and health officials have made some people hold off from getting their shots. Americans are still individualistic mavericks, not easily lassoed into what everyone else is doing. There are those who instinctively tend to push back when they feel bullied into doing something. And that's exactly what they're doing, isn't it? They're trying to put pressure on people through kind of manipulative media presences to do something that the government wants you to do that you might not.
And it's also the way they do it makes people not want to, because I mean,
when I see that, I really don't want to do what they tell me.
But that's the thing. Like, you remember what was it, Bill de Blasio, who was like, here's a burger, because, you know, America, and you'll get that if you get the vaccine. Think vaccines, think burgers. Like, that was his point. If you think vaccines and start thinking of TikTok, rates are going to plummet. Who wants that? You could be just like TikTokers. No thanks.
I'd rather inject myself with cyanide if I have to watch TikToks. So perhaps the mixed messages sent out by our government and health officials have made some people hold off on getting their shots. Americans are still in... Oh, no, I'm reading the same part again, sorry. It seems that politicians and business leaders have started to realise that chastising and villainising Americans isn't a very effective playbook for a large portion of the population. They're now finally figuring out that maybe money talks. President Joe Biden has called for states and local governments to offer $100 payments to newly vaccinated Americans.
Jesus Christ, more printing of money.
Yeah. So not only are they paying these TikTokers, what, $1,000 each probably, to do these stupid videos, they're also paying people $100 to get people to take the vaccine. And supposedly in New Mexico, where they offered these cash payments, Johnson & Johnson noticed a quadrupling of the number of shots that they had administered in that time.
Imagine
so it does actually seem to work.
Imagine getting vaccinated before.
Yeah, and missing out on the $100.
I want my money. I want my tax rebate.
So it's even worse. If you were earlier to uptake the vaccine, you got it for free, then you're paying money to the people who were more skeptical and held off on it. Or younger.
I mean, they did have to live through the TikTok, so maybe it's compensation.
Yeah, that's true. So this is also happening in the private sector as well, with Walmart offering $150 bonuses plus 2 hours of pay to get vaccinated, along with a promise of up to 3 days paid time off if they have any adverse side effects to the vaccination. Which, I mean, if they want to do that, it's a good positive incentive rather than like the vaccine passport approach, or that even worse, the French approach, where if you're out having a coffee in the street in France, you get accosted by the police.
Yeah, persecution is left preferential to free cash, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not really free because it's American taxpayer money paying for it.
Well, tax rebate, we'll call it that.
Okay. I mean, that's about as close as you can get, but still.
It's as charitable as I can be. Did you see the CNN headline on this? Because it was like, what gets people to get vaccinated? It was just fear.
Just fear.
Yeah, they just wrote fear, full stop. And then that was the article about how we need to fear the population, as in make them...
To be fair, that's the best CNN article I've ever heard, just one word.
What are we about? Fear, CNN. Yeah.
So the final thing I wanted to mention is, of course, the UK is going to copy Joe Biden, because, of course, we don't actually think for ourselves. We just do whatever the United States does in wars, in ideology, just everything. Apparently, TikTok now as well. So yeah,
who's done this?
So we can't make fun of you, America, because we are even worse. Because...
Which department? Because I want to know the Conservative minister, and I want him out.
I don't know the actual specific department, but
it's going to be the health department, isn't it? So it's going to be, what is it, Savage Javid, mm-hmm. probably? Let's come up with this.
I can't believe it's infiltrated. TikTok is in the highest echelons of society now. But anyway, Downing Street will enlist TikTok stars to push teens to get vaccinated, even as critics note that the committee behind the decision to expand the inoculation drive has admitted sparse evidence for doing so, which is true.
Sorry, sparse evidence that people watching cringe TikToks makes them want the vaccine?
No, it's about vaccinating younger people, because they haven't actually got the studies yet to rationalise the vaccinations.
But so, I would actually quite like to hear their evidence for the fact that these TikToks are helping the case. Present that.
It's probably not helping, to be honest. The Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation, the JCVI, announced on Thursday that the first dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine will be offered to all 16 to 17-year-olds without needing the consent of a parent, reversing their own recommendations from just 2 weeks ago. And the chair of this committee, Professor Wei Shen Lim, stated that the decision to vaccinate 16 to 17-year-olds, the intention for all of the evidence to be published, but the evidence isn't necessarily in the hands of the JCVI. So wherever possible, we encourage the evidence is published, but the timing is not in our hands. That's what he said. But he's basically admitting, yeah, we're advising this, but also we don't have the evidence yet. So please publish the evidence because we'll look bad in
so,
a press
so
conference.
So proving the point that, yeah, we have no evidence, we're just going to go ahead with it. I mean, children mm-hmm. here, 17 and 16-year-olds. I know the UK has a weird stance between 16 and 18. We give certain rights at certain points, mm-hmm. but definitely under 18, we're going to describe as kids.
Yeah, but the
without parental consent. I mean, why without the parental consent?
Yeah, the admission as well that we just are doing this without the evidence as well, explicitly from someone who is responsible for it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a bit worrying. And just to add to the worry, I think, Professor Wei Shen Lim is also part of the Department of British Forensic Society, something or other to do with vaccines, that received £25,000 in funding from Pfizer. And Lim declared that the departmental interests in a 2021 audit, which stated that he had direct responsibility over the Pfizer gifted funds. So there we go. Questionable person.
Sorry, so he declared it and then was like, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, so basically there's involvement with Pfizer and he's responsible for the vaccines.
Sorry, Pfizer gave me 25 grand and I'm not going to recuse myself?
His department, yeah.
Okay, I still don't trust it.
But nevertheless, the main point here is TikTok is awful. Don't go on it.
Yeah.
Get your kids off of it.
I can't think of anything worse that could harm the vaccine effort.
Yeah. If those kinds of people are pushing it, then there's no hope for anyone.
All right. So we move on to Boris's green fetish. So I didn't really know what to do with this topic either, because it's not something I feel hugely about, but it's just like something wrong, something really wrong.
I do care about the environment a bit more than most people on the right, but also the left's environmentalism and their version of it is awful. It really doesn't help their cause whatsoever.
Anyway. So let's go into Boris's green fetish. So Boris has a bit of a green fetish that is abnormal. And as someone who doesn't really care much about the environmental argument, I'm not involved. I don't care about either side of this because I just don't feel like I know enough. And you mentioned that you're more into the environment than most right wingers. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I would argue from what I hear from right wingers, as broad as the term that is, they all like the environment because it's like, you know, our country, keep it clean, safe, you know. But the difference, I think, fundamentally comes down to the kind of people who worship the sun, and those people are strange. So
the worship kind of, the sun.
Yeah, that's what I'm dubbing them. The kind of people who are
pagans.
They're not concerned with real world results. Instead, they are just concerned with like humanity bad.
Okay.
And therefore, they just push environmental stuff 24/7 because, well, quite frankly, it just seems like they hate humans. Which is weird.
Yeah, like the anti-human rhetoric is pretty strong. Mm.
Anyway, so the first thing here is a video we did a while back in which I was talking about why Boris decided to adopt the Green New Deal.
Because of his wife.
By the looks of it, yeah. So the weird thing is that the Green New Deal, as Americans will know, was the nonsense AOC came up with in which she wanted to ban cows and build trains to Hawaii, amongst other nonsense. And this, like, they went to the Senate and even she didn't vote for it because she knew it was bad press. And I was like, okay, whatever. Sorry, went to the House, not the Senate, because she's a congresswoman. But the Green New Deal popped over to the left in the UK because they're so incestuous. And you can see here, Labour for a Green New Deal. They just copy-pasted the entire thing. And were like, right, that's our work.
So even though AOC won't even vote on it herself, Labour's just like, yeah, this is great.
Based. No, not based. Not based in reality at all. Anyway, so the Labour Party took that up, and then they decided that it looks bad to talk like a Yankee when you're running for political office in the UK. So they changed it to Green Industrial Revolution to try and make it more British, which, yeah, okay, whatever. But it's the same thing. That's the point here. Anyway, so if we go to the first image here, the Conservatives tried to adopt this, and it looked kind of weird. And this is an image from Labour, which is they're mocking the situation. Corbyn plans Green Industrial Revolution. Johnson seeks Downing Street Great Reset with Green Industrial Revolution. Same thing. And also
the Great Reset sounds worse almost.
Yeah. But also the Conservatives were mocking this as well. If you go to the next one, you can see the Carrie memes that came out of this. It's time to give the Dolphins the vote. Boris, it's time to give the Dolphins a vote. Yes, Carrie. When does it stop? And you can also just look at the manifesto. So the Labour manifesto. Green Industrial Revolution, and you can read through it in your own time. And then the next one being Boris, in which he posts about the Green Industrial Revolution. The same thing. Here's my 10-point plan that I totally haven't stolen from someone else. Like, right.
He's copying Jeremy Corbyn's homework.
But why? Just why? Like, why do you not have your own thinkers? Are you just that? It's weird, right? There's also the other kind of sun worshippers, except they're worshipping the sun for the holy race that it is or something. BLM UK. It's going to be BLM UK. The climate crisis is a racist crisis. Hashtag climate emergency. God, I'm not going to waste my time with these people.
So
the sun is racist.
The Chinese are emitting the most emissions by far. Therefore, according to Black Lives Matter, they are the most racist.
No, but that's a form of
factually correct.
It's like a form of white supremacy again, isn't it? You know, they tried to blame anti-black hate from Asian people in... sorry, other way around. The blacks attacking Asians in the United States, that was white supremacy. So I bet when Chinese Communist Party produces emissions, that's also white supremacy's fault. Anyway, but the IPCC, the International Planet on Climate Change, released a report recently, and they said that there was a code red for humanity, and this made headlines everywhere, and you can see the image used there of fires in Greece. And again, I don't care about climate. I'm not interested in the argument. What I am interested in is a weird obsession from the Conservative Party, specifically Boris, with this issue. So they say in here, there is hope that cuts to emissions and greenhouse gases could stabilize rising temperatures. Hopes. Well, if we just look at the UK, apparently we're doing excellent on this. Mm-hmm. So if we go to the next link here, as you can see, fifth largest economy. We're not in the top 10 here. We're at 17 in this list for emissions as share of the world. 1%.
Yeah, we're one of the world leaders for like green technology and stuff like that. It's lots of the companies that are actually coming up with the technology are based in the UK. So it's unsurprising that we're so far down.
1% of all emissions from the UK. Okay, you think, you know, glorious, you know, everything's been solved or it's very good, therefore, whatever. But you also go to the next one. There's this report from the government on recycling. And it says in here that 46.2% of households' waste is recycled and 67.2% of packaging is also recycled or recovered. So you think, I mean, good job. Like, you're recycling to a ridiculous extent that most other countries don't bother with. Your emissions are next to nothing, which is why I don't understand why there's so much hoo-ha around this, specifically from Boris, is like, you know, the must emergency that the UK must go after. Like, the UK isn't doing it.
My only thoughts is perhaps it's a strategy to win, like solidify his position, because the Labour Party is obviously dying. And if he gets them on the environment as well, then wasn't it something like we were looking to cut it by, was it 68%?
And we'll then later.
Okay, I don't want to spoil it then.
But here's also the thing. So there's also, I want to mention, weather events are not climate change. And I'm sick of this from the leftists in particular, because they're the worst one on this. So we go to the next one. You can just see Zara Sultana. And then there's footage of the forest fires in Greece. And she says, the demand to move beyond a capitalist system addicted to burning fossil fuels has never been more urgent.
And that's like, Greece, isn't it? And of course, fire. There were never fires. I mean, it's not like Homer mentioned them in his writing at all. I mean, Greece has never been on fire before.
Ever.
I mean,
also, fossil fuels did this?
Yes. Especially 2,000 years ago.
Also, capitalists are responsible for this.
Those capitalists always setting wildfires there.
So the Soviet Union.
So devious.
Never known for its fossil fuels.
Yeah, never known for its natural disasters either.
Natural gas.
Or unnatural
oil,
ones. Yeah.
Or the gates to hell as they set up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that. I think it's in Kazakhstan. They set fire to some natural gas, hoping it would run out, and now it's just been going for like 80 years and mm-hmm. still going.
I'm pretty sure that there was a city in the Soviet Union called Magnitogorsk, which had like a...
Magnitogorsk.
Yeah. It had like a life expectancy of about 40 or something like that. It was like ridiculously low, like 20 years lower than the rest of the country.
Disgustingly polluted.
Yeah.
So, sod off, socialist. But there's also, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if socialists are going to be like weather event or single event, that proves climate change. But why does the next one not disprove it? So we get the next one up. So just local man. Founds snowball, and then this was the Republican who was like, I've got a snowball, therefore no climate change. And
that's really not an argument.
As funny as that is,
to be fair,
but it's also a really good argument for when leftists are like, yeah, but you know, oil spill, therefore climate change, or earthquake, therefore climate change. It's just, shut up, for Christ's sake.
The climate doesn't even control the Earth's crust, does it?
But
an earthquake can't be caused by climate change because it's under the surface of the Earth.
But also the floods or whatever. Mm-hmm. They'll just be like, yeah, weather event, therefore climate change. Do whatever we say. It's like, sod off, people. I can't stand them. Anyway, so Boris has made an unwelcome speech about all this that wasn't very popular with Conservatives because people are like, I didn't vote for this. I voted for Brexit. I didn't even give a toss about this. So let's go to the next one. This is his a speech he posted. So the IPCC report could not be clearer. Humans are causing potentially catastrophic climate change. The world must act together to avoid incalculable damage for the future. And one of the things, amongst others, he mentions in here is he wants the UK to commit to a fund of $100 billion a year for other countries so that they can go green. So just spend money elsewhere. Because why? Well, because the UK, it's nothing to do. Our emissions are nothing.
I can think of something. We could reduce immigration to stop our population growth and stop the creeping destruction of the countryside. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But it's not only the $100 billion a year he wants to commit to globally, but also just the plans they have. So Andrew Neil did an interview with Rishi Sunak a while back, and GB News being the only outlet that would ask this question, we can get the next one up, which is that how much is this all going to cost? And Rishi Sunak looked very, very uncomfortable and then had to admit £1 trillion over 10 years. £1 trillion. For that's what? 1% of the
massive,
world's emissions. And that's not even going to bring it down to net zero, but Jesus Christ. That's the cost. And I hate that they can't just be open about this, but whatever. I'm not even against the climate stuff or whatever necessarily, but I'm so sick of the sun worshippers. Who are like, no, we need to destroy all human progress, spend untold amounts of money because, what, 1%? I was like, okay, whatever. But it also leads him to saying really dumb stuff. So if we get the next one up, this is him saying something really dumb. Boris Johnson faces backlash over Thatcher coal mines comment. What did he say about the coal mines? Margaret Thatcher was helping the environment by closing down the coal mines. Oh, boy.
That's not going to win voters back, is it? Up in the north, they're...
That red wall. The PM said closures gave the UK a big early start in the fight against climate change. I really don't think that was on her mind, lad. For people outside, I mean, this is a really politically inept thing to say, specifically for Boris Johnson, who's trying to win seats in the north. The big issue of why the seats were so red for so long being Margaret Thatcher's closing of the coal pits.
And of course, the families that lived around the coal mines and the coal pits and stuff like that had lived there for generations and generations, like 3-4 generations or so. You know, people had lived and died around these mines, and then Thatcher just closed them all and they felt betrayed, and people carry that resentment, even though many of them had never even lived when the coal mines had actually been open, and they still carry it like, you ruined our community, basically. They hold it against her, and I can understand why.
But it's so all of this has been going on, and it's weird. Like, I'm not saying that worrying about the environment is weird. I'm saying Boris's obsession and fetish is weird. And some Tory MPs have started to start asking the same questions everyone else is, which is, what's wrong with him? What is he doing? Like, why is he obsessed with this? So this was a leak from a Tory MP WhatsApp group. So it's a WhatsApp group full of Tory MPs, and there's some of the comments in here. So Lee Anderson says this will not go down in red wall seats at all. Michael Fabricant said, no wonder Jeremy Clarkson votes for us, which is completely out of context here. Like,
yeah,
I can see
understand.
It is. I don't know why they included this.
He's probably being sarcastic, right?
It's just not part of... It doesn't make sense in this conversation. Brendan Clark-Smith says, it's hard sell asking people to make sacrifices when the rest of the world, China, Russia, etc., carry on as usual. Germany also having twice the many emissions as us, I believe. Others need to pull their weight rather than us doing all the legwork. That's true, because I remember the reason the Americans pulled out of the climate accord, why Trump did, I should say, not the Americans, because Biden went straight back in, is because they had this big meeting in Paris, and they were like, yeah, I'm going to cut by this much, and it'll cost the economy this much, but it'll be worth it because of climate. Hey, everyone else, what's your bid? And all the Westerners, being idiots, were like, yeah, we'll do this much and that much. And the Chinese went, yeah, we'll do nothing. Sign the paper. And then that was it. It was just like, well, what are you going to do? What we're doing already? It's going to change nothing. And then Trump was like, well, we've been had here. You know, we're giving up all of this stuff, and in return, we're getting nothing. I'm out. And
it's fair enough, in my view.
Therefore, he was the bad guy? And I'm like, no. Like, and then Biden's just taking him back in.
So what we really need to do is direct all of the environmentalists' rage towards the communist Chinese government. That's really where the change should be made. And also, it'll stop us from having to deal with it as well. Win-win.
Yeah, but also they are the major polluters of the earth, the CCP. So Mark Jenkinson also says, we are ultra parochial on net zero, and we simply are not the problem. And then Carl McCarthy as well saying something in here. So you can see like a whole bunch of Tory MPs. But I love the last one. Jackie Doyle Price. The reason we have won the red wall seats is because Labour has been losing working class voters over decades as the party has become increasingly metropolitan. We won't keep those voters if we start behaving in the same way.
I remember reading that this morning and thinking, yes.
And
there's still people with some sense, although I am somewhat skeptical about this being real because they don't really talk like human beings, but then they are politicians, so that might explain it a little bit.
In person, politicians are different. When the cameras are on, they're all little scared animals. Not to be too rude to them, but they are. Everyone knows that there's a camera face for them, and then the
background.
Well,
all they need to do is say one thing wrong, and that's the end of their career. Yeah. So,
but get them in the pub; they're far more normal than. Mm-hmm. Well, I say most of them as well. I don't know about all of them. Anyway, so if we go to Fabricant, the next one here, he said that, yeah, his comment was completely taken out of context, which I believe. I don't know why the Sun added it in there, but it's the Sun, so whatever. But Darren Grimes did a response to this, which I saw across the board from every Tory, which was just, well, I'd buy all of them a pint. They all sound based to me. Because the fundamental is not them saying, yeah, death to the environment. No, they're saying, why are we obsessing over this in a way that's unhealthy? So there's also some other stuff in there that was shared that was quite weird. So if we go to the Sun article, there's someone who shared Stark polling that in the chat showed that 44% of all car owners back the Conservatives, even though Boris has now decided he's going to ban the car by 2025 or 2030, I can't remember.
Surely that's the petrol or diesel car, right? Yeah, not just the car as a mode of transportation.
Well, it's coming.
You've got to get the bus.
No more cars, only trains. Anyway, but also that it rises to 47% for all petrol drivers because hybrid owners and whatnot aren't voting conservative, so I don't know what this is about. Also, another added, you cannot make steel without burning coal. Fact, we have been trying to save our steel industry for the last 10 years. On the basis of this, we shouldn't have bothered. Again, true. Like, why did you spend all that political capital saving it? But there is one silver lining to all of this weirdness, and again, I don't really have an answer, but the only silver lining I've seen is it kind of makes the Labour Party look ridiculous in a weird way. So, you can see Ed here. What an absolute joke of a party. Labour has said Johnson's pledge to cut UK carbon emissions by 68% by 2030, compared with the 1990 levels, is inadequate, and that the target should be 70% at least.
About 2%.
2%. 2% difference. So, like,
so important.
Not enough. Needs to go to 70 from 68. Right, okay.
It's amazing that the climate scientists in the Labour Party know to that degree of a percentage how much we need to cut. It's
but also
quite amazing, really.
Johnson's just going to kind of be like, right, 71%. Now what? So there's that added benefit, I guess, of it makes their complaints look childish. But I don't know what else he's getting out of this. But also Keir Starmer said something that made him also look kind of pathetic as a complainer. So the biggest threat we now face to climate isn't denial, but climate delay. Those who, like Boris Johnson, acknowledge there is a problem, but simply don't have the scale and or ambition required to match the moment. You know, that whole 2%. The ambition to go 2% further. God. So I don't really have an answer. I'm not really sure. Like, if it's trying to keep Green Party growth down, because in Germany they exploded, maybe. Maybe it's just that he wants to make the Labour Party look like climate extremists, and they get the Extinction Rebellion nuts, and we don't.
I think the Tory party struggles with young people, and if they're seen as doing almost exactly the same thing as Labour, then there's nothing stopping them from, you know, voting if they agree with them on other things. But particularly for younger generations, the environment is the most important thing for some reason.
Is it though? I'm very skeptical of that.
Not all young people, obviously, but as like that.
But then again, what is it? Like, the of young people, what is it? 80% of them vote Labour. So yeah. Again, what's the point? Like, you're appealing to a choir that you've long lost.
But yeah, the party is also dying as well. So yeah, if you're gonna win them over, I'm not defending him here. I'm just trying to get into his head. Why?
Yeah, because I'm struggling with it as well. But I did want to end on some white pill at least. So base Tories doing base things on occasion, and they deserve claps when they do it. So this is an idea that's being floated. So Kemi Badenoch, rising Tory star, poised to replace Gavin Williamson as Education Secretary. Now, here's the weird thing. I don't really dislike Gavin because we've featured him before. Remember, he was the guy who wanted free speech rules on university campuses to protect free speech. Did a good job on that, all the rest. Apparently, he's done some mess-ups elsewhere. So with the A-levels, too many A-stars being handed out.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Like, what was it? 45% were A-star to A, which is ridiculous. It was normally like 20% at the highest. It's almost double.
There are some failures to be said of him, let's say, but I'm not opposed to this at all, because I'd love to see Kemi in charge of education. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, this is the lady who went to Parliament and was like, yeah, BLM, critical race theorist organization, don't teach it in schools. Should be nothing to do with them in schools, and if you do, we'll put you in prison, because you shouldn't be doing that. which is the right thing to do.
It's
the
great,
same way,
isn't it? Great to hear.
In the same way you would be very upset if a teacher went into a school and started being like, yeah, so this Hitler guy, he had some good ideas. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd be like, no, you can't do that in a school to kids. This is total nonsense. And the same is true of the critical race theorists who come along and want to teach you about black genocide. No, get out. You're not teaching children, you freak.
We can see how it goes down the line in America, because at the minute, obviously, a huge thing is the critical race theory in schools and stuff like that. So this is great news for us, at least. So
yeah, I can't wait to see her in charge of education, the stuff she can.
If you want your children to have a good education, now they can. Just send them here.
Kemi's School of Re-Education. Anyway, so a Conservative MP said he is wetting himself, Gavin, about the sack. He keeps telling people that he knows where the bodies are buried and that the PM is too weak to sack him. So maybe it won't happen, maybe it will. But either way, sounds like a good idea to me. I mean, if not, I mean, just put her in charge of the whole country or in charge of the Home Office or something. But I thought I'd just end on somewhat of a white pill compared to the just weird fetish of Boris with greenery, which I still don't have an answer to. I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand why he's so obsessed with it in a way that weirds everyone out.
A wife's opinion can be a powerful thing. And that's what I ultimately think it comes down to.
I look forward to the Dolphins getting the vote.
John says money. There's that too. There is, of course, the industrial argument, right, where we've got lots of businesses doing green stuff, and therefore being very pro-green is good for getting more investment into that industry.
Well, if anyone knows any green stocks, let me know. I'm looking for investments. Right, let's go to the next one.
Hey, Lotus Eaters, Tony D and Little Joan here. Sorry we haven't been around. I lost my job, and I'm giving my books a go. This is The Pineys. It's comedy horror in South Jersey, a gun-positive book series about a family of hunters who hunt the kin of the Jersey Devil. It's all part of South Jersey folklore, which I'll be talking about in a future video.
Oh, that is the cutest thing in the world. I love that dog. But thepineys.com. So go and check that out. But that dog is cute as heck. More dogs. I like dogs. Right, let's go to the next one.
Here's two more guns in my historical gun collection. The bottom being the 38 Smith & Wesson, and the top being the Colt M1917. What I like about my 1917 is that I know for sure this was used in World War I.
That's really awesome. Something about revolvers, they're like the best sidearm going.
They're very masculine, you know?
Yeah.
Especially, I think, is that top one, I don't know if you said, like the...
Was that the Colt or the Smith & Wesson? I can't remember.
I can't remember
which one's which. You're probably going to make fun of me in the comments, but... I'm afraid I'm English. I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, but if that's a real, an actual relic, then keep it safe, because that's fantastic. Let's go to the next one. What's this?
Weightlifting guaranteed to whiten your teeth.
Go and grab my awesome books at cscooper.com.au. For a 15% discount, use the promo code Callum Craves Keto.
I just love how this is just an advertising space now. For oh boy, I don't think I think maybe we'll have to say that the weightlifting doesn't whiten your teeth, just in case. But you can always try it. I'm sure it wouldn't harm.
The reason you probably can't figure out where I work from this video is because you are not a pissed off leftist with a savior complex. They are some of the greatest detectives on the internet, behind 4chaners trying to piss off Shia LaBeouf. On a lighter note, I've been enjoying the videos Carl's been making for many, many years now, so it was very nice to hear that he enjoyed watching something that I made. I'm not going to bother shilling until I have more than like 3 videos and 2 subscribers on my channel, but hopefully one day I'll have a lot of content for people to enjoy.
Sounds good. I don't know. How would they even find out where you are? Like, there's nothing in the background I could even think of looking for, but...
If they did, it would almost be impressive. Like...
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, you came to my house. You figured out where I live. Well, fair enough. I mean, come on in.
Shake my hand. Here's a cup of tea. Oh, I suppose he's American, but...
Be a beer or... No, it'd be Coke, wouldn't it? No, they're woke. You go get something else now. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
Harkening back to the last premium Zoom call, there was the topic of freedom that rose. I thought it was worth mentioning that in Eastern Orthodox theology, there is a distinction made between freedom and self-determination, not the same thing. Self-determination is doing what you will, whereas the concept of freedom, while there is the idea of freedom from, the more important concept is freedom for. That's the best I can do in 30 seconds right now.
I think that's a valid point, yeah. Self-determination is something separate to freedom, but they are kind of linked, even if they are just loosely associated or positively correlated with one another.
Did he say that came from the Orthodox Church as well?
Yeah.
I don't know much about Orthodox Christianity at all, but I never hear anything bad, except maybe some of the more Russian-style versions.
I know when I went to Greece, all the Orthodox churches looked amazing.
Yeah, but also just the theological points. I never see anything that insane, but I'm always willing to learn more from
them. I was more interested by the architecture. That says a lot about me.
Ooh, pretty gold.
Building looks nice.
That's something to that.
Callum, shut up. You're being outmanned by me as I have got a girlfriend. You're being outmanned by Carl, most definitely, who has a wife and children, which is the correct win condition of a man. And you're being outmanned by Fox, who unironically has a Sword Art Online poster. Do you not feel a slight concern, right? Okay, everyone gather together and start a series of teaching Callum how to actually be a proper man. And Callum, listen to us. You're being told now, for God's sake.
Nah, I'm not taking advice from you on that. Don't worry.
That's not very nice.
No.
Is he wearing like a judo or karate thing as well? That makes it all the more like compelling. Just like, yeah, you do this or else I'm going to beat you up.
So I'm wondering if you guys can identify this regulated firearm in Canada, despite the fact that the model and serial number is written right on it. The federal government couldn't identify it, and therefore they labeled it to be a website and subsequently banned it for being hate speech. In completely unrelated news, I will be flying for the first time since this COVID garbage started tomorrow, and I might be arrested for sharing this hate speech with you. So maybe I'll make your podcast in that way.
I hope that doesn't happen. What? A cool pistol.
What, he's going to get arrested for telling us about the pistol?
I think he had to get it verified by the Canadian government or something. Oh. And they couldn't tell the model, even though it was written right on the side. It said Ruger 22 caliber or something like that on the side. Or at least that's what I read from here.
Well, that's crazy. Enjoy your flight, I guess.
Pressuring vaccination through incentives has likely led to somebody getting $100 last week, a free burger this week, and then freedom next week because they had lost their card in a legit boating accident. As for mask mandates, do not abuse children. If they don a mask without coercion, such as in Japan, then so be it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing of all of this is surely just each to your own. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why that concept's gone out of the window for so many people, especially in the Anglosphere. Although I was quite proud of the French who were protesting the vaccine passports that has now come in for going to restaurants, gyms, and all that stuff. There were some that went there who had been vaccinated, because that's the thing, like, not anti-vax. They had been vaccinated, they were just burning their vaccine cards, because they were like, no, to hell with you. Like, I know, you know, I trust the vaccine, I've taken it, all the rest of it, was their argument, but I'm not becoming a second-class citizen and not letting my fellow citizens become second-class citizens.
Yeah, that's the important thing as well, because...
And the law passed.
If people just dismiss these people protesting it as, oh, they're anti-vaxxers, they just don't agree with it, then it's easy to dismiss them. Whereas if someone who has been vaccinated, then they can't really do the lazy dismissal. They've actually got to listen to what they have to say.
You're anti-vax. I've taken the vaccine. Yeah, still. But
you didn't enjoy it.
The law has passed, and you've seen some of the footage. People should check it out, of police, French police, going into like restaurants and being like, papers, please. And you got to show them your little phone or whatever to show that you've had the vaccine. It's creepy. The thing everyone said wouldn't happen is currently happening in France. Awful.
They love their liberty in France.
So Callum, you were talking about M1 Garands earlier, and something I do at my work is we take wood shavings from an M1 Garand, like so.
What?
And I make them into the base, like this. Very specific parameters. And then we make jewelry out of it. So you can get a ring made out of M1 Garand walnut. Isn't that cool?
That is cool, actually.
Why are you shaving off the M1 Garands, though? I assume they're broken, and then you're losing the wood from it. But that is really awesome, but please don't be destroying the originals if they work.
I'm sure they're not.
There's a fandom. I can't remember which gun it is, but you know Han Solo's gun from Star Wars?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's like the one where you got to put the bullets on the top. because it's weird. People keep taking them and like sawing them off and breaking them so it can look like Han Solo's gun, because it's not a proper version of it. And it means that the original gun is now kind of dying out because everyone keeps using them for cosplay.
Don't vandalize history. That's pretty...
Cosplayers.
Yeah, exactly.
But otherwise, yeah, that is pretty cool. I like the making of things. Let's get the next one.
Salute to the Chad that showed off his waifu, and Carl for defending me. Callum, you're completely wrong. Because Jen, who asked who out?
I asked you out.
Yeah, Callum, you're completely wrong.
I'm not even like bought into this argument largely. I just think Carl's wrong, and I'll have that debate one day. But...
like how the video comments are just like calling you wrong specifically. That's what they've descended into.
I'm convinced.
Dystopias like 1984 and Brave New World are popular because of their explicit cultural and philosophical critique of totalitarian collectivism. But I don't think we should ignore technological dystopias more along the lines of, say, Philip K. Dick. I'm not a Luddite by any means. I'm a software engineer by trade, and all this stuff is really cool. I don't distrust the tech. I distrust humanity. Neuralink promises to fix paralysis, but it also grants read and write access to your brain. The party becomes Descartes' daemon. Genetic engineering promises to cure congenital diseases, but eugenics. The tech of the 20th century arguably enabled historical regimes to put ideology into practice. That was bad enough. We thought deplatforming was bad. Imagine the damage these ecosystems could wreak with near-future tech. What do you guys think?
I'm pro-technology, but I think it's dependent on the human beings in question. If technology provides human beings with more opportunities to be bad, then it's not necessarily inherently bad that the technology is developed. It's just that we need to develop the people as well.
What about when you know that this invention will just be abused?
What, like, I need a practical example?
Well, take Amazon shops. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, right, okay, if Amazon's happy to ban plenty of people, I mean, Alex Jones has been banned, I think Tobin Robinson has been banned, like his book's banned on there, Trump's probably banned from it. Well, then if they can ban you from Amazon, from selling things, why wouldn't they just ban you from buying stuff in those shops as well? You know, the robot shops they've set up, where you just walk in and walk out, that's all your stuff. Like, if that became the shops, and then they're just like, no, you just can't come to our shops anymore.
Well, if the free market completely disappears, then it might be a problem. If Amazon just takes over the world, then sure, that'd be awful. But there are alternatives.
Well, no, that's I'm saying the technology there. Like, if Tesco's or whoever decides to implement that technology...
then the same technology is going to kick people out of all shops. I imagine that that wouldn't last very long before people realize that actually...
it wouldn't be all people. It would just be certain people, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but... stopping people from being able to buy food and stuff like that. I mean, no matter how evil they are, anyone should be able to live.
Yeah, that's because you're a liberal, though, not a progressive.
We've got to starve people with the wrong opinions to death.
Yes.
Great.
Mao did this. I mean, this was one of the main points of the famine, which is he would kill people by denying them access to food. It's like, well,
hopefully that part of history doesn't repeat itself. Oh.
Sorry, apparently my phone's on. Let's go to the next one.
Nike is constantly political. Why? Cover. Congressional reports suspect Nike used forced labor in China. Religious minorities were ripped from their families, sterilized, sold to factories. Nike made shoes in those same areas. Congress tried to ban Nike's labor practices. Nike fought back with highly paid lobbyists. Rather than hiring Americans, Nike chose China. John Donahoe, Nike. Stop exploiting foreign labor. Serve your customers, not woke politicians.
You know, that's especially true of trainers. Because, I mean, what does it cost? Like, I think it's like $2 or something for each pair that they pay, because you can get the foreign labor. But then they sell the trainers for, like, sneakers for Americans for, like, hundreds of dollars. You know, the high-end ones. And the thing on my mind is, like, the... what is it? Like, if you moved to the United States for some production, it wouldn't be worth it. Like, the cheap tat needs to be made in India or somewhere with cheap labor, because it's just not...
it wouldn't be profitable, yeah.
But sneakers, like... You could pay people a decent wage and still charge ridiculous prices for them that you already charge.
Especially considering if it's something like running shoes, where, you know, you're using it for a specific activity and there's an actual reason to have good quality there, then people are willing to pay that, right? Mm. Like, I know I'd pay way more for running shoes than I would other shoes, just because I know that I'm going to get the benefit. And of course, it affects things like your posture. You can rationalize it loads of different ways and avoid all that stuff.
Yeah, but I just want to mention, like, companies like them are the worst for this, because there are many American companies that are wrong for moving to China the production. But you could argue there's some savings to be made for the customer. There are no savings to be made for the customer when it comes to Nike.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much profit margin.
I did also like how American that video was. It was like the most American political advert ever.
When you start making attack ads like that in the UK, honestly, the Americans have us down on that. Let's go to the next one.
On the Lotus Eaters, we've established that the death penalty can sometimes be justified. And the death penalty, putting it simply, being the state deciding that your right to life is over. I think you can apply the same logic to freedom of speech in the sense that there is one crime I would consider heinous enough where you don't deserve the right to freedom of speech anymore, and that would be using your speech to censor others. I understand it's a bit of an oxymoron, but it's the same oxymoron of, oh, you killed a bunch of people, or we're going to kill you for it.
What do you mean by using their speech to censor others? If you're thinking the heckler's veto, then yeah, that's technically true. So someone who comes to a speech, say Jordan Peterson, this is said multiple times, he's been invited to give his talk to some students, and then a bunch of leftist radicals turn up and just scream and make noise. Yeah, no, get out. Like, you don't have any right to do that because you're shutting down other people. I don't know if there's an example you had in mind, but that's the one that comes to mind for me. Unless you're thinking of like Ajim Chowdhury or something who's advocating Islamism or someone advocating fascism or
like
whatnot.
Like incitement to breaking the law, obviously not good.
Sure, but it's not against the law to shut down people's free speech in the UK. So I don't know. Specific examples would be needed.
It doesn't really work for me either because I don't agree with the death penalty.
Cringe.
That's not cringe.
Yeah, your base takes don't say this.
Yeah, well.
Anyway.
I don't trust the government enough.
Tony D and Little Joan here with another South Jersey folktale, the most important one, the Jersey Devil. The Jersey Devil is New Jersey's official state demon, and it was born in the 1730s to a woman named Leeds, who had 12 children already, and on her 13th child screamed, "Let the devil take it." And thus was born the monster, which ate the family, flew out the chimney, and has been haunting the Pine Barrens of South Jersey ever since.
Have actually heard about the Jersey Devil before. Very interesting mythology.
Sorry, I'm still caught on the idea that you would be like, if it's a private company doing the murdering, then it would be okay.
Yes, it's fine then.
Right.
So McDonald's, execute me.
So fine. You're not okay for government to execute nonsense, but if it's McDonald's Corp executing nonsense.
I think
nonsense.
It's the same underlying principle for private companies as well, in that...
I was hoping to change you the other way, but... Go to the next one.
Two things. If Carl's watching, he'll probably hate the first. I am not a hypocrite, which is why I watch anime, because I'm not looking at woke media. Japan hasn't gone woke. And Shad, your friend from Australia, who you spoke about HEMA with, he, not I, said this first. Welcome to the modern He-Man story. Deal with it. Also, as for my personal fitness challenge, I completely forgot about my long-sleeved shirts, my long-sleeved button-ups. So it's more around 23-ish weeks before the deadline comes up. But you'll know when it's coming up when I get to wearing the unironable white shirt, then it's onto the button-up shirts again, and then it's time for the flex.
I didn't really follow that at all.
I think he's replying to one of the other video comments.
Sorry.
So in a way, I would think of the Lotus Eaters as an underway replenishment vessel, like back when I was in the Navy. We come up, we get our refueling, and then sometimes we may not have to do a emergency breakaway, like in this one video. And that's probably where the music came from. That didn't get it shown the other day in the other video, but hey, it's pretty cool. The ground moves underneath you.
Why do you have to do emergency measures to move away? What do they mean?
I'm not sure. I don't know how it works. I've never been in the Navy, but it's interesting to use the analogy there with practical footage as well. That's a uniquely powerful thing.
Sorry, Michael's looking at me through the curtains. Let's give her the next one.
I claim a diet without meat is immoral. Humans seem to have started out eating meat, and us eating anything else appears to only be a later evolutionary adaptation, a very awesome one. But how many people do you know that can't eat certain foods like nuts or dairy? Now, how many people do you know that can't eat meat? After having lost over 35 kilos myself and feeling all around healthier by increasing my meat intake, I have trouble seeing vegan diets as anything else than a misguided postmodern imposement of fantasy upon nature.
Probably right. Do you remember Vegan Gains, the YouTuber?
Vaguely. Didn't watch any of his stuff.
His entire channel to me just kind of came off as Cope as being like, no, veganism's fine. I can still make muscle. And it's just like, yeah, but why do you have to come off as being someone who's coping? Like, why are you not just confident in your position that, nah, there's no problem here?
Yeah, the framing's very important in that sort of thing. Like, if you're just like, yeah, I'm vegan also, I've got muscles, then you're fine.
But if you're constantly being like, yeah, no, veganism can work, it's like, well,
yeah, you're on the defensive immediately. You're framing it all wrong.
Let's go for the next one.
So there's this idea floating around right now in the U.S. that the Republican states and the Democratic states should just secede from each other and, you know, form their own unions. I personally think that there's millions of reasons, half of them in unmarked graves, on why that should not happen. I just kind of wanted to get you guys' opinion on the subject.
Well, yeah, I mean, anti-civil war, if we can help it.
But... yeah, I think that's the only way a secessionist movement would go, ultimately, and I don't think it'd be a good idea.
Although there are some great memes about, you know, the Democrats mm-hmm. seceding yet again, and then, like, you know, Emperor Trump having to put them down, and just, you know, like, his generals, General Cruz is besieging California.
Yeah. It's basically like fan fiction for politics junkies, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of leftists are really living it. I mean, the shooting of the ICE facility or people in the streets. Give an example.
Hey guys, this one's from Callum. What you should have did when Carla was out, change all the gold, silver, bronze tiers. You should have got rid of that and made it red, gray, and white. That would have been pretty base. And anyone who's not paying for the service, they're just a rightist. That just say that.
What? Why red, gray, and white?
I don't know. I didn't get the colours, but okay.
I didn't get that one, sorry.
is that all?
Remember
of them?
This.
We like the stock. We like the stock. Orcs, 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 orcs.
That has to be my favorite podcast topic so far. It's not over. The mainstream media seems desperate to memory hole it, though. 30 seconds is way too short, no pun intended, to explain. Check out r/GME and r/Superstaunt for discussion, research, and memes. This is some of the most influential DD, which stands for Deep Dive or Due Diligence, and search Superstaunt for The Diamond Handbook for another compilation. Do not believe everything you read on the internet. The good faith actors will provide links to sources you can check for yourself. This is not financial advice. I am not a liar. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I like the stunk. That is all.
Somehow it being sped up made it even more amusing.
Yeah, although this definitely isn't financial advice from us either, so to check out those places, but you probably should. But I what's amazing is GME still sat at like $150.
Yeah, I didn't expect that to go in for as long as it did.
Yeah, like it skyrocketed mm-hmm. and then it went down and everyone's like, oh, well, that's the bubble. And then it's mm-hmm. gone back up and it's just like hovering around. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. It's not worth $150 a stock, surely. Unless I'm just an idiot and the guy's on Wall Street Bets are genius.
$40 at a push, maybe, but...
Well, it was sat at, like, what was it, like $7 or something like that before? Mm-hmm. Like, it was about to die, but how's Blizzard doing? Well, they're recovering now, aren't they? Anyway, but can we get the graph up of GME? Because I just want to make the point, which is, like, I don't know anything about stocks, but it's funny as hell.
I don't know anything about stocks. Here's some financial advice.
Well, it's not financial advice. Can we go on 1 year so we can see the fact that it's still, like, hovering? I don't get it, but it is funny. Anyway, let's go to the written comments.
Okay, so on the topic of diversity, Northamptonian Knight, white privilege is not real, diversity privilege is. Yes. Henry Ashman, going to private school is one thing, but I saw a report that said English footballers about 10 years ago were all born in autumn and winter, which meant they all had a biological advantage in the early years by being the oldest in their school year. Life ain't fair. Sport is about picking the best team to win. The last white man to win the 100 metres was in 1980, but you don't see the woke moaning about that. Cycling and rowing were both rocked by bullying scandals in the run-up to the games, and now they've both returned their worst showings in the best part of 20 years, go figure. Anyway, rowing has like an association with being like a private school thing in Oxbridge.
Yeah, posh boys.
Yeah.
Like, even at my university, it was known as the posh boys. Like, weird posh boys who are a little bit gay.
Student of history, allow me to clarify the issue here. White people being involved is a negative diversity count. Men being involved is a negative diversity count, and so on and so forth until you realize that what peak diversity looks like. Carl had that in a video a few years back where there was a panel of all black women, and the news articles was talking about all the diversity being seen.
I think I remember that as well, but the meme is true, in which they consider like there are citizens and then diversity citizens, and the more diversity citizens you have, the more the diversity score goes up. So it's a good way of explaining it to people when they're like, well, how is a boardroom of 100% women diverse? Well, all of them are diversity citizens.
They're so diverse, they're all the same.
Yeah. So true diversity looks like. I kind of hate this standard though. We talk about like men and women being these differences aren't really valid in a lot of ways. I think there's a funny scene back from when this conversation first started happening in Yes Minister. I don't know if you've seen it, and It's all these guys from the different departments in Whitehall have met and they're discussing quotas for women to get them into the civil service. And there's a joke in there in which they're all like, well, you couldn't get a more diverse bunch than us. And all these men who are quite posh go, yes, yes, yes. And that's the joke. But at the same time, it's the thing of like, you don't actually know their backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And if they were a broad spectrum of society in the way of understanding, then that's more important. So yeah.
There's also the fact that people who are the best at what they do are more alike than people who aren't. So there is also that. Yeah. So, Bucketbot, American and British society have proven resistant to class-based divide and conquered that, worked in Russia and China, so commies are exploiting the race angle instead. I mean, that's true. I mean, there is no, like, clear class divide in the UK, really, is there? I mean, sure, people like to project stuff on it, but the traditional classes no longer exist. Like,
In the same way they no longer exist, it's... there are still mannerisms and things
that pass
through the ages.
Yeah, like it's more about a social aspect than an income thing, because now trades are probably more profitable than lots of managerial class jobs, and those were conventionally working class, whereas the managerial ones were conventionally middle class. But now the traditionally working class jobs are now the ones that are the most profitable just by the way the market's gone. So... doesn't really work anymore, does it?
Well, the societal thing is real, and that can be determined. I mean, that's why you can get, you know, people rarely, very rarely, but a conservative will mention that to hell with all this racial and gender diversity, class diversity is something that matters. And you'll get like a working class MP. It's like, how does that make sense if it's about money? And it's not. It's about culture and mannerisms.
We've almost forgot about like the working class in politics. Like it's hardly mentioned other than to win voters. Like they're not talking about getting pushes to get more working class representation.
They're not a diversity citizen, are they?
Yeah,
they're an anti-diversity citizen.
Oh dear. So Kevin Fox, I think they should go fully diverse. Let's have furries on Team GB. Don't let them take part in the relay. All the other team needs to do is throw their baton into the crowd and we lose our runner for 10 minutes.
I saw some people trying to defend furries in response to the video about the furries at Pride, at Swindon Pride we went to, interacting with kids. And they were like, no, these aren't sexual furries. These are just furries that like to dress up, as in, you know, just wearing a fursuit because they like the fursuit, nothing else. Like, yeah, no one believes that. Why are you at Pride then? Why did you go to Pride? Pride is about sexuality. If it's got nothing to do with sex, why are you there as a furry?
I mean, we did go to that thing, so...
Yeah, we went to investigate.
That's true. Fair enough.
I like visiting the zoo.
Right. Did have that feel about it.
What, there were furries and people in dog costumes? I mean,
I wasn't going to question it, actually. Oh. So I'm going to move on to the influencer comments now. So Alcibiades Nuts. Somebody at the White House seriously said, we need a way to make people take us more seriously about this vaccine. I know. How about we get a Talon-wearing, literally who from TikTok to waste time of members of our staff with a cringy bit that pretty much never mentions the vax. That'll work.
That's a good point. That had nothing to do with the vaccine, did it?
No, he mentioned it a few times and that was it.
It was mostly just cringe.
It was mostly just him acting really camp in the White House in various places. I don't know how that's going to convince anyone of anything, but okay.
Convince me of something.
James Stevens, I hate the term influencer because it plays into the social constructivism mindset, drone collective mindset. Yes, absolutely. Radical centrist god, based Josh politely raging about people who call themselves influencers was highly amusing. Josh should politely rage about things more. Ha ha, so eloquent. Thank you.
I like how the nickname's stuck as well.
What, the
Bass Josh?
I'd rather that one than Posh Josh.
Yeah, we go hand in hand.
I'll take it. I mean, it's worse than being called cringe. Alex Hiley, it's interesting how the White House take on influences. Whilst on BBC Radio 4 this morning, they were talking about the dangers of Russia taking on influences to push anti-vax narratives.
When the White House does it, it's kosher, but when Russia does it, it's a disinformation campaign.
I know we're close to the end, so I'm going to try and find comments about the Boris one. Matthew Hammond, why is it that part of the going green for Western countries is offshoring all carbon producing industries to China while importing solar panels and wind turbines from them? That's a very good point.
Yeah, I think, what is it? I'm going to get the percentage wrong, but it's more than the majority of all material needed to make solar panels comes from Xinjiang in China. So the slave labor part as well. So
do not support solar panels. They enforce slavery.
So not the Chinese ones, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because, of course, even if we reach net zero carbon, which is not an achievable target, we still import stuff from elsewhere. So what we're going to do, move the goalpost to say we've also only got trade with countries that also are net zero. Like, that's the eventual...
They probably will.
...end point, right?
Yeah. Except China, they'll get an exemption.
Is that... Al Shire Tory?
Hey, Al Shire Tory.
All right. I didn't get that at all. Boris' recent comments about Thatcher closing down the mines and his environmentalist agenda will cost them come next election, especially in the Red Wall.
Also, absolutely. In the Shires, though, because in the Shires, no one thinks of this.
Like, this the Shires, been, what?
You know, the Shires.
What, in Shire, New Zealand?
Shire,
oh, right.
The Shires. Anyway, but the
from Lord of the Rings.
This is like seen as the blue wall version, and I've seen some people talking about, you know, maybe losing some of that. Probably not, but I can't imagine many people are so hyper focused on this. It very, very much seems like a metropolitan hyper concern.
Well, I think you've got to be able
We're more concerned with the countryside, not worshipping the sun.
Mm-hmm. I think also there's an element of, if you're relatively okay economically, you can kind of afford to lose a bit of income from the damage to the economy the environmentalism will do, as they can afford to do it. Whereas for working people, it's not going to be the same.
Yeah. How would you like to get charged? What was it? £1 trillion over the economy?
Yeah, it's an absurd amount of money.
Anyway, we'll end on that because we're out of time. But if you want more from us, go to lotuses.com. We have the new article from Hugo, as I mentioned, that's premium. We also have the book club, The Long March Through the Institutions, How the Left Won the Culture War, at 5 p.m. Go and check that out. Otherwise, thank you and goodbye. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock.